Please be upstanding for a new recording of Things We Like.
Hi, and welcome to Things You Like. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Tonight, we are going to be doing an experiment, I suppose, in cultural sensitivity.
That is one way of looking at it, yeah.
Tonight, there will be an experiment regarding accents and our abilities with them. Every now and again, there will be an oral indicator.
An announcement.
Yeah. About which accent that we are going to try.
And murder.
Yeah, and obviously feel free to play along at home.
In fact, that'd be even better. In fact, record yourself listening to this and send it in to us. By the way, I'm Jim.
I'm Alf.
I'm
Jan.
I'm not here.
I'm Mystery Guest.
So, I guess we get a bit warmed up first before the barrage of accents begins.
Hang on. Just stretch it before we warm up. Yeah. Just have a little pre-warm-up stretch.
Okie dokie. Cool. Has anything happened this week?
I don't want to break anything. Has anything happened this week? I know we've sort of had the Halloween special, but obviously when we're doing this, that means it's after Halloween. Which is true, it is after Halloween. Mm. And it was pretty good.
Thanks to the magic of audio production, we didn't actually record that on Halloween. It just came out then.
You're killing the illusion.
I know it's difficult for some people to believe, but that's the way we roll here.
It was all live and it was all real.
Yeah, I wound up going to 4 different Halloween parties, I think. No, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, kind of like 4 different. One of them wasn't like proper party.
Mm-hmm.
But the other 3 were pretty party. It was pretty cool.
They're not proper party. Was that the preparation party?
Yeah, the preparation party. Yeah, Mystery Guest was there for that as well. And while it was fun, it was sort of, it wasn't a party. It was like
a planning
play
session.
Time in primary school. a bit of creative, arts and crafty kind of chill out, do this, have a bit of a chat while you're making some stuff.
Did my mask get used?
No. As I said, physical action, dialogue was okay. Basically, we put on a shadow puppet play that we did. It was supposed to happen like a couple of days in advance, but that was like never going to happen. So we took like about 48 hours to make a load of stuff and finish writing the script and plan stuff out, and then. Yeah, we performed the shadow play, which for 48 hours work was bloody good. The thing I think, and I think it helped for most people, was the attitude of, as it was about to begin, we were like, let's just think of it this way. In 20 minutes, it's all going to be over. Regardless of anything else that happens, we just get through the 20 minutes and it'll be done. It was really good, really good fun. And it was a good laugh.
What was the name of... I'm breaking like the boys. What's Tom's production company called? Sinister Theatre.
The title of this was The Boy Must Die, Thereby Must Die.
Yeah. Sinister Theatre Production. It was cool. Awesome. It was definitely something I liked.
And the not seen his place before, and it is awesome. It looks like Fight Club from the outside, and it's just actually really quite sort of lush in the inside.
Somewhere. It's shame you didn't get to see the upstairs fun. Actually. Mm. The other.
Unfortunately for Halloween this year, I went to work, which was gruesome in its own right, but not exactly party-tastic.
I signed on.
Oh.
So I saw some horrors. I mean, I was there, so I can assort you the standard of the people in the job centre.
Yeah, Halloween was pretty cool. Went down to the beach, looked for the things, there's nothing there.
Nothing?
Nothing. Not a vampire, not a Cenobite.
Nothing for you to like whatsoever. No thing. Not even a thing.
You can't catch a break.
There was, I think, there was a bat down there. Which
okay.
Made me happy.
That's reasonably Halloween themed.
Yeah. A bat though.
It's poor effort. Isn't it?
That's awesome.
It was just
quite Halloween.
You There's only one of you. There's only one animal turned up, you know what I mean? There'd been a few of you. Maybe a few things might have turned up.
It did remind me of the time I was down at the beach with a friend of ours who was hanging on the beach, and he was on the phone to someone. I think someone he was going out with at the time. I can't remember. And for some reason, a bat flew straight into him and launched his chest. And he lost it. And all the person on the other end of the line could hear was just like, oh, yeah, we're doing it. He started screaming. Which I would have done as well, because it was a phantom creature that had attached itself to him in the darkness.
Well, they always say that the bats will never hit you. They know exactly where you are.
It sounds deliberate then, doesn't it?
Really? Yeah, all the more to be afraid of.
Well, I suppose down on the beach, surely, big gust of wind, fuck with anyone.
Besides which, unless you've seen a bat panic in a converted loft with rafters, then you know they can bounce off something. when we were trying to catch one in the later show when we were kids, like with the family we used to go away with, and everyone just like lost track of it. We were like there with towels, like just trying to catch this pipistrelle, and Alan, their dad, sort of like, we just stood there and we were all just like looking at him, and the bat just like crawled over his shoulder. And it's like, right, so we were like, finally managed to get it outside, but yeah, it was like bouncing off stuff just because it was freaking out at first.
I got to stroke that bat.
Aw, special memories.
Is that a euphemism?
Unfortunately, no.
It's just the way you said it, really.
I can't imagine what stroking.
I got to stroke that bat.
What would stroking the bat be?
Probably.
I'd say that's fairly obvious. I think bat's fairly phallic.
Really?
Stroke that bat. Yeah, I'd say that's fairly obvious.
I was thinking it was going to be more sort of vagina related.
Then I'd say that's, you know, I don't know why I'd say that was, but it doesn't appear to be the obvious route.
Really?
I don't think so, no, it doesn't.
Nah, man, because if you think of the wings, you could think labia.
I think that was more or less where I was at.
So, anyone else write any other stuff this week?
Just going to say a battle full of diseases, but yeah, come on.
Great!
Yeah.
So that's one.
Mystery guest professing his like for the fact that bats are full of disease.
Yeah, but they have amazing immune systems to compensate.
Like sloths.
They think they'll sort of...
Oh, sloths are riddled with all kinds of weird shit. If you find a wild smart sloth, they say don't touch it. They're like colonies.
That could be like a natural defence, though. If you're loaded with disease, not many things eat you more than once.
No one's ever eaten me more than once. That's not necessarily liked it this week. It's been a long term like and love of mine. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It is quite a large spanning piece of work written by Douglas Adams and comes across in several forms. There's a radio series, a book, a TV series, and a film at the very least.
And a video, one of the first text-based adventure video games.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know of its existence. Awesome. I shall be obtaining this. Yeah, well, it started off as a radio series on Radio 4. It's the story of a book. Although it's a very abstract story of a book, because it takes the form of the story of a man named Arthur Dent, who, on the day that his house is going to be demolished, the world is in fact destroyed in... Well, as well as his house, and he has to go on a space adventure with his friend Ford Prefect, who, until recently, he didn't know was an alien. It's quite difficult to explain the scope of it, because it gets very, very odd very, very quickly.
And it's vast.
Well, part of the deal with it is there's this guy's, the Hitchhiker's guy's...
Yeah, his mate Ford, who's the alien, is a journalist.
He's a researcher for the guy, isn't he?
Yeah. So he's writing the entry for Earth for any aspiring hitchhiker of the galaxy to judge whether or not they want to go there. Obviously, that becomes quite redundant very quickly because the Earth is demolished within the first episode. So,
and his only sort of entry was...
Change accent to French.
His only entry he sent off was... mostly harmless.
Indeed, he actually had quite a large entry on the planet Earth, but it was trimmed down by the editor, because the Earth is not a very interesting planet. I go a bit Russian.
No, does Earth even exist anymore?
It is a strange plot point of the book, because the Earth comes back into existence at a certain point. Again, very abstract book. Russian again.
Is the... original entry was harmless, and it was updated to mostly harmless.
One of the things I really like about it sounds weird and just I don't know. One of the things I really like are character names in the Hitchhiker's Guide, like Zephod Beeblebrox, great name. And Slappy
Badfast. Douglas Adams has very good imagination. I don't know where I'm going with the voice anymore.
You sound like the Count.
Transylvanian is not on list.
Think of French words.
Think of Christopher Lambert.
Christophe Lambert.
I feel if there's Let one accent I'm willing to butcher, it is the French.
There's a feeling we'll be butchering them all.
Yeah, if this is anything to go by.
Well, how about we mention some French things? How about that gentleman who does the vines?
Oh, Alistair. I think his name is Alistair, yeah. He does vines.
Vines.
Awkward. It's very short, very funny. I don't know why, it makes me laugh.
We'll put the link up for him on the site when this is posted. I think I'm going a bit German, French.
I like the French songs they used to get us to sing in high school. Quelle est la date de ton anniversaire? Quelle est la date de ton anniversaire? Janvier, février, mars. Janvier, février, mars. Yeah. That's all the best ones, like Avril, mai, juin. Avril, mai, juin.
That is particularly French.
Mm-hmm. There were the tricolor tapes and Muzi.
Your deflated head, exemple.
There are a lot of good French things in the world, though a lot of the time things get confused with French Canadian things. Mm.
For example,
I thought this Andre fellow, I was not sure if he was French Canadian or French.
I'm not 100% certain. I think he is French.
We'll find out.
Le Revenant, French television show. The Return in this country.
I have been meaning to watch it. I will get around to it.
C'est très excellent.
I have to admit, it is not say parfait, but it is pretty fucking good.
It's a good exploration of zombie.
Sacré bleu.
The meaning of death, l'amour. Not l'amour.
But does he know also Fischer l'amour?
He does. It's an all-encompassing drama.
This is zombie.
Like last of the
It's similar to zombie. It's about a group of people. They return from the dead. It's a sneak preview of the Italian and the letter to come. people come back from the dead in a small French town. Nobody knows why, let alone the people who are dead. They have no idea what has happened to them. And it's about how they cope with mortality. It's very good. The soundtrack is done by Mogwai. Very atmospheric.
Very good.
I would advise everyone to watch.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Jesus?
I like the way Coxie-ho is pronounced.
Coxie-ho.
I'll have a Coxie-ho.
We should talk about Christophe Lambert.
Christophe motherfucking Lambert.
Christophe motherfucking Lambert.
Yes.
Lots of different places. You're a liar.
Sounds revolting.
It seems like the casting director on that film was very, very confused.
where Sean Connery.
We have not even talked about Sean Connery's accent.
Egyptian,
Scottish comes up.
Egyptian Spanish nobleman.
Doesn't like haggis.
Is it Scottish accent still? Favourite French character? Pepe the Shrimp? From the Muppets?
I am a king prawn.
Yes, I think he's French.
I never thought about it.
Okay.
Pepe, yeah.
I'm not a shrimp.
I'm not a shrimp.
I'm a king prawn. No.
You've
got
to know when to hold
them.
Know when to
hold
them.
Shh.
It's a shame we can't have. We could have had a little thing for French or Belgium. A little list of things to do.
I just know things that are Belgian that I thought were French.
Now you've given that away.
What was the phrase that Eddie Izzard used to use? Was it La Songe Adon l'Arbre, which is the monkey is up the tree. And he used to wander around the French countryside just to be able to use that phrase.
Avec les oiseaux.
Yeah.
My sister went to an ape sanctuary in France. A small boy. He ran around the corner. And he said, attention, un songe! But in the monkey sanctuary, not surprising. I think we have established by this point I cannot do French. So I will continue in a kind of Russian hybrid.
You are a spy.
None of us can claim perfection.
French is surprisingly difficult.
I think we're going to find this problem with a lot of these. Like, after about 2 minutes, we start straying into other areas. I just said something very German sounding.
I think straying. Part of the problem is when you start thinking about it, you start to slip out of it. But if you try not to think about it too closely, you can stay with it.
Think of French things.
France, yeah.
I don't know why, but I cannot do this French accent.
your perfect Welsh accent. What else is good about France?
Tintin?
Belgium!
Oh, no!
What is good about French?
C'est un nom terrible!
The obvious answer.
Oh. Also, what is good about French? Poirot? The Belgian chocolat?
Oh, we should mention quickly our Crimson River, which is the only other.
Vincent Cassel and Jean Reno.
Fucking yes!
Luc Besson.
Jean Reno. Lyon. Lyon.
He follows our example. He plays Italian. Very French.
Plays American. French. No, he plays French, no, American.
Has he ever played American?
No. Godzilla, he was French. He was tending to be American.
That chewing gum
works, apparently. According to Godzilla. I believe everything in that movie as gospel. Charles de Gaulle was fucking awesome.
Change accent to Scouse.
No, yes.
Right.
Thank God.
Right. We've got to be careful here.
Why?
Easy. Yeah. I was going to say Asterix and Obelix. Is that Belgium as well, though?
No, I think that's
Scouse.
That's
Scouse.
Asterix and Obelix.
So Scouse.
That was French.
No, Ledge.
But
yeah,
also,
but French,
also
yeah.
Proper French.
Yeah, that was good.
I like old Ringo Starr in Thomas the Tank Engine.
I do think that was probably his best contribution to the artistic world.
It's pure magic.
You fucking dissing Octopus's Garden.
I mean, you know, it's a cracking tune, but is it Thomas the Tank Engine?
No. It's not the body of work that is Thomas the Tank Engine.
Which apparently in America is called Thomas Train.
I don't think they have the concept of a fucking tank engine.
I would say overall.
You know what I mean, though?
But,
he's talking about like a military alternative to Thomas the Tank Engine.
No, I'm not. But now that you
Thomas,
it up,
the Tank Engine.
It's a fucking good idea.
No, maybe that's what they thought that the American people.
It'd be
kind
of boring if it was just the Tank Engine, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just
we
tank.
Have it as
you
an
don't
institution.
Even get to see what he's doing.
It'd be very close, it'd be very Brechtian theatre.
Wouldn't you make a good play out of it? Because if they're all tank engines, it'd be really muffled speaking between the armour, and they'd all make mistakes because they wouldn't be able to hear each other.
What there, Thomas?
World War II fucking pinging.
Or
World War II pinging.
We don't know that wasn't set during the war.
Well, pinging, that's true.
It's out in the middle of nowhere.
Pingu's everywhere. He really is. Fucking everyone's got Pingu.
I've got a serious case of Pingu. I went to Bolivia last year. Never again.
For the other cultural misunderstandings when it comes to British child cartoons abroad, where I like Noddy, and in Japan they thought he was part of the Yakuza because he had like he only had the three fingers.
Oh, wait, was that not Postman Pat?
Yeah, I thought that was Postman Pat.
Probably applies to both.
Is it? Probably. Was it the Scousers who did that voiceover of Postman Pat?
Oh, did
as well. I don't know if it was Scousers though, because it was people like Leeds was the ones that did Tintin, wasn't it?
There's been Scousers and there's been Geordies and there's been all sorts.
Because basically we've got, actually, I was going to say we've got the best fucking accents. Don't we have like the most accents per capita per land area mass shit in
Britain?
British Isles, including Ireland.
We've got like a major accent saturation.
Apparently Scousers proper taken over though, they were saying. It's like,
why expanding?
Was that like more areas are going, more Scouse like?
Is that not like Mockney though, where people just like the sound of like Cockney, so they start emanating?
I think it's quite a strong, accent really.
And it comes from a lot of different accents, so I imagine.
Well, it's mostly that crossbreed between Irish and Yorkshire.
That's where it came from, right?
Yeah, because the vast number of Irish immigration over to Liverpool areas, and then that mingled with the accents around, like Lancashire and Yorkshire.
Sorry, I was just laughing at the fact it was done Scouse, which is easier than a nice break, but it's just like, I imagine for anyone who's outside of the area, we sound a little bit Scouse anyway. You know what I mean?
No, but yeah, this is just accent.
It's got a bit fucking aggressive.
No, it all depends on the grading, isn't it? Because it's like there's Liverpudlian, which is like traditional spoken, and then it gets into more like Scouse, where you sort of pick up the pace. And if you go high pitch, you go scally like.
Scally, by the way, is a term for like, you know what I mean, Scouse mate? People who are fucks.
That's
going to get some local support there, James.
It's like, scally is like another term for chavel. Like, you know, in Newcastle they have scotchy
twoppers. It's like a fucking young reprobate. That's it. From Liverpool.
Not just a reprobate. Someone's a right bad fuck.
Yeah, a fucking reprobate. What the fuck's wrong
with that? Besides, I've known nice scallies, man. Sometimes scallies are just cheeky.
Most scallies are alright, really. But, like, sometimes...
You're talking about the state of the human race. Like, the nature of the human condition, man.
Exactly, there's fuckers everywhere.
I have been watching a lot of Cracker recently.
Oh, oh shit.
Well, Cracker's it's in
Scouse.
Manchester, so there's a lot of...
What the fuck?
But there's a lot of Scouses,
it's a Scottish man in Manchester.
If you let me continue...
I'm sorry.
I'll get to the Scouse bit.
Go on, then.
Right. It's in Manchester, so there's a lot of Scouses in it. Like, Ricky Tomlinson's the DCI. He's pretty fucking Scouse.
Another ledge, fucking Ricky Tomlinson.
There is also, probably the most famous and biggest storyline... rotates around the Hillsborough disaster. Well, that's fairly Scouse-centric. It's written by Jimmy McGovern. Fucking wrote Brookie.
You fucking love Brookie.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with a bit of Jimmy Cork, he'll smackhead teach you. Yeah. Oh, what a guy. Well, anyway,
Cracker. What did you put on a pizza, Jimmy?
Fucking cheese, ham, tomato, and heroin.
No, Jimmy, you don't put heroin on the pizza.
I just want to make pizza.
Wasn't that the episode, the Hillsborough one? Wasn't that with that fucking Robert Carlyle?
Robert Carlyle, yeah. He is well good, isn't he? And he does a very good Scouse accent, considering how Scottish the fella is.
Carlyle's a really good with his accent.
Is he playing
that? He plays a man who survived the Hillsborough disaster.
Is he a horrible cunt or just a man who survived the Hillsborough disaster?
He's pretty uptight. He's reasonably normal, but his dad dies. And... he feels like he's, you know, people look at him like a fucking scally, and they think he's a thug. And he's miffed about the Sun's coverage of the Hillsborough disaster, because they made out like all the Liverpudlians were filthy animals. He's rejected in a shop by an Asian man because he doesn't have 4p on him to buy his tea bags and his paper. And he just fucking snaps. He's always been a Labour supporter all his life, a big socialist, always out for like the rights of the minorities. But everywhere he goes, he gets treated like a fucking skinhead wanker. So he finally snaps and goes, well, if you're going to treat me like one, I'm going to be one. So he is an horrible cunt. But.
Yeah.
Eventually, and he's fucking very horrible. He does some rag stuff in that.
He's pretty good at playing the old horrible bastard.
Mm. But it's great that, though, where you get like people are good at playing both sides of the equation. It's like Kevin Spacey as well. You can play the good guy and also play the villain.
When's Kevin Spacey played the good guy?
Negotiator. He's done fuckloads of like ones where he's a good guy. American
Beauty. He's not that bad in that French film La Confidentiale.
Oh yeah, La Confidentiale. Yeah. I fucking love that. Found it a bit confusing though.
Yeah.
Do you know what I like? Fucking pagodas. No, I mean
pagodas.
Fucking pagodas.
Have you got any
pagodas, lad?
A lovely pagoda in a nice garden.
Like Alton Towers, the gardens there, they've got a fucking boss pagoda. Yeah,
it's like a Chinese garden vibe. But on Alton Towers, memory sort of scope. Do you remember when we went and it was the Ripsaw and it was fucking amazing? Because like, it was like going back and forth, and this guy was like just clearly having a serious issue at the time.
Well, explain the structure of the Ripsaw.
The Ripsaw is. One of those sorts, like swing affairs, like I'm looking at the accent also.
It's like if they took two rows out of a cinema and stuck them on like an axle, and then it spins around 360 degrees.
Like a pirate swing, but really, like a really long chair.
Yeah, like a pirate swing, but it doesn't swing left right. It swings back front.
And
this is like the engineering of this explanation is bollocks.
I think we're doing a reasonably good job considering.
It spins out like the
It's like a large porch chair.
It's like a fucking log, yeah, that you sat on horizontally that rotates in a large circle forwards and backwards.
You just
but
said
also
what he
in
said
a small circle.
Words.
Yeah.
Just bigger words.
Right, regardless of the design of it,
more
basically, it's swinging back and forth, and this guy starts to chunder, and he's timed, so every time it swings back and he's like facing the ground, he's puking. But all of a sudden, it switches direction, and all you hear is screaming. And it's like, when they finally bring the ride down, there's like two rows, like five seats across, people screaming and trying to get out the restraints. And like they finally made it free, and like about 150 people sort of just ended up just like clapping away.
It was good. Yeah. And, unsurprisingly, didn't go on the Ripsaw that day.
Yeah, funny though.
I don't like going on the Ripsaw anyway. Quite frankly, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it now. That ride slams my gooch. Something fucking awful. No, I mean the shape of those moulded seats. It's just wrong for me.
I'm a bit too
tall
for the
restraints. It's like I get punched in the gooch every time.
Reach is awesome though, because like it speeds you down there and you can't even hear your own scream.
Change accent to upper class British.
Oh my god. Breaking all of the conventional rules.
Yeah. As I did say, I feel my back's a little too long for the Ripsaw. The restraints are just too small for a man of my stature, so I feel like I'm being compressed even before it begins.
You are a man of considerable stature. You are around 6'4".
I believe the total term is I'm about one yan.
One standard yan.
Anywhere from 0.99 yan to 0.1 yan.
Depending
1.0
on the time of day.
Yeah, depending on time of day.
Yeah.
The yan will depreciate in time.
I thought that was bollocks. That didn't actually happen. It was more sort of
How do you mean?
That you don't actually shrink when you get older.
Well, no, you do from that. certainly osteoporosis conditions and certain like that.
Oh, apart from, you know...
Which become inherent in later life, I'm afraid.
Oh, fuck that, I don't want to get any smaller.
Yeah, it converts to feet at about 6'2". Yes, as you said, we haven't been to Alton Towers I haven't been for like 2 years. So I feel that there's probably quite a few attractions there now that I've never experienced.
As yeah, I'd be more than willing to go with you when once the view opens again. But,
yes.
I think we should definitely wait.
It's a bad good idea not to go term time.
Oh. No, and also until this new ride has been properly checked out. Let some of the other peasantry test it out for a while. Human Leds. Testing of all that.
Leds.
Yes. Those crass cretins.
Before I forget, I'm going to move on to something else. Leon.
Leon's
experience on Rita.
Oh, dear.
It's delightful.
Well, yes, we arrived at the park. We'd been driving through the night. Well, Leon had been taking magic mushrooms the night before. He hadn't got a great deal of sleep. If anyone's
you know
familiar,
what the boy's like, free spirit and all that.
He slept most of the way there, and I don't believe he was ever really awake when we were walking through the park. And we went to Rita, as the first ride of the day. We were amongst the first people on it. There were an odd number of us, and as you sit in twos on the ride, Leon was sat next to a very amiable gentleman, maybe in his 40s or 50s. He seemed to be there with his family.
Certainly not a pep for a man of his age in that
yes.
time of the morning.
He was smiling a lot. He seemed, you know, very genial.
Full of him.
Easy to get along with. The ride starts as... how fast does it go to begin with?
It's something along the lines of 0 to 60 miles per hour within the space of a matter of seconds.
Yes, well, as the ride started and shot off like that, Leon screamed, "Oh, you fucking cunt!" obviously... In his usual guttural northern accent.
I believe he didn't even understand the concept of the ride that he was on.
He just sat down. He probably thought he was getting back in the car.
I do recall that ride myself. It certainly woke me up.
Yes.
Very exhilarating.
Yes. He didn't stop swearing until the ride got back into the station, where the rather friendly man got off very quickly, didn't stop to chat, didn't seem rather as amused as he was when he got on the ride. I hope
well,
thought he was going to have a lovely day.
That day, that's for sure.
Yes.
Improved his vocabulary, no doubt.
Yes.
And stayed north, like south of the border, for the rest of his days.
Reinforced stereotypes, I'm sure he held.
Yeah, a jolly time's had by all. You're dressed rather well for the accent tonight, James. You know, flat cap and scarf.
Strangely, I am. Flat cap, scarf.
A waistcoat.
Waistcoat. But if you notice at the bottom of the top.
Go for the debonair look.
A wee pirate symbol.
Oh, dear. A bit of a revolution.
Oh, my.
A
pirate.
I don't know is the term somewhere.
No, it does not actually. I think this is actually the logo. It's a skull and crossbones, but it's actually the logo of St. Pauli, the badass football team in Germany.
Yes.
What a bunch of fucking anarchists.
They're fucking awesome. They fight Nazis.
Nazis everywhere, but not a drop to drink. You should put a link in for Gentleman Rapper.
Mr.
B. Yes.
Have you been appraised of the situation of Mr. B and his rivalry with the trousers gentleman?
Mr. B's rivalry?
Mr. B and his rivalry with the erstwhile rapper...
The trousers, gentlemen.
Yeah, a fighting trousers was, I believe, a track that he had out, which was excellent. But and there's a lot of debate as who started first of the upper class rapper, whether it was Mr. B or this other fuck.
Fine gentleman.
Fine gentleman. I can't remember his
bloody
name.
Bloody
name. Yeah, the trousers gentleman. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, they've been having a bit of a beef, and I think currently Mr. B has put a sick burn on the other fellow, and they're waiting for a comeback. I believe
can you recall the nature of a sick burn?
This is becoming a rather vague article, James.
Where are the details?
Do you feel as though this may be a ploy to increase a bit of reputation for the pair?
Interesting, because they did last year do a rap off.
Everybody loves their rivalry.
They battled, and Mr. B trounced him, and he looked like he was actually inventing lines, whereas the other fellow was just like reading off an internal script. It was rather sad.
I am rather a fan of the novelty music.
Yeah.
I don't mean to offend everybody by calling the music that they love or perform novelty, but I do enjoy novelty music.
What's your class? It's novelty.
Music with a good tune that makes you laugh.
Yes, like something like Flight of the Conchords. They're a good novelty musical act.
Or Amateur Transplants.
Tenacious D.
I
think they straddle the line, but they have firm roots in novelty music.
I believe so, yeah.
Rock.
Garfunkel and Oates.
Oh, excellent.
They're good. Good to see some ladies in the novelty music arena.
Chas and Dave.
Bonzo.
That's not fair. You leave Chas and Dave alone.
Weird Albert.
Weird Albert?
Weird Albert the Yonkfish.
Oh, of course, yes. Weird Al. His rather novelty music royalty, if ever there was.
Lonely Island, of course.
Yes.
There's Ruffians of the Rubber Bandits.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I've got dysfunctions!
And syndromes.
Fuck.
But I'm on opiates. It's fine.
Please, we have no issues with the royal family in the large. We don't want to get shot.
We're a neutral class system.
I'm a bloody Republican. Down the lot of them.
Would you, if you had the option, remove the royal family?
Oh, this please, is, no.
This
no,
is things
let's
we
like.
In what manner do you mean remove?
Well,
in what manner do you mean to bring up a conversation where Alf starts to discuss the monarchy things we like?
I do apologise, but let's get this done.
No!
Well, if you had the option, and it was like they, much like in that novel by... the what's-a-fuck who did...
get your point about sublithering!
Right, okay, if they could, say if they were getting removed and sent to a council estate, and, you know, on benefits until they get a job.
Just completely strip them, make them citizens, tough shit.
Yeah, Sue Townsend wrote a novel.
I don't think you need to go that far. I think, you know, if that was my only option, yes, I'd bloody well go for it. But, I don't think you need to go that far. I feel a complete and true separation from any actual state-related business should occur. They themselves would still have an impressive lineage and are free to exploit it any way they wish. They should be allowed to keep, I suppose, some measure of property. Oh, bloody duct tape. We could wax lyrical about duct tape, quite frankly.
We haven't even gone for, like, Flyboy. Have we? It's like World War II, kind of.
I feel we've had a few what-whats and chocks away.
Tally-ho.
Yeah.
I definitely feel more at home with the old, fucking love the old RAF in World War II especially. They
weren't bloody
shit.
Well
they
like that, though. That was just the bloody movies.
Bullshit, they were all like that.
There was a lot of
where
that.
The fuck are you
exactly,
from?
I wouldn't say
all
that.
Stereotypes are built on a certain amount of truth.
Change accent to Australian.
Oh.
They didn't fucking talk like that. You can't.
Maybe we should take a moment to consider the number of great performers that have come out of Neighbours.
Neighbours in general. I think we should just start with Neighbours.
Yeah, I dropped out of Neighbours. I lost interest.
Well, you moved out of Sharon's house.
Nah, mate. I lost interest in watching it. I wasn't in it. Yeah. I think you would have fucking known that by now, to be honest.
I go through periods.
You really?
I moved out.
Oh, man. What's wrong with you, you fucking cat?
Yeah, for anyone who isn't familiar with Neighbours... Got a bit dodgy there then for a second.
Sounded like Australian man who lived in Birmingham.
For anyone who isn't familiar with Neighbours, it is a soap about the residents of Ramsey Street in Erinsborough.
Erinsborough is a place.
Erinsborough's like
Australia.
It's like a
suburb of Melbourne.
It's a district of Melbourne.
It's full of a bunch of fucked up cunts, I tell you that much.
They all slept with each other. They all have secrets that inevitably come out.
It's a soap, yeah.
It has Harold Bishop still?
Harold Bishop isn't in it really anymore. He'd probably come back every now and again. We've still got Lou Carpenter.
All right.
Somebody heard that story about Harold Bishop.
Oh, they were organising out the trips of... they're organising the trips out of the hostel, and they take him out to meet Harold Bishop and like the whole cast. They used to get quite heckled by the crowds at times, and Harold Bishop used to get from the crowd for this one guy saying, "Why are you so fat?" And Harold Bishop in retort. End up going because your mum gives me a biscuit every time I fuck her. And apparently he's quite a dodgy geezer. I saw a geezer fucking he's quite a dodgy can. I saw a picture of one of the groups that gone out there, and he's just staring. It's like straight down the cleavage of the girl he's taking the picture with, and apparently he's quite pervert.
In the show, quite he plays pervert, quite a mild man in goody two shoes.
He's a bit of a Christian.
Salvo, yeah, he's a salvo.
A salvo, man.
He's his Salvation Army. Plays the tuba.
Went to Japan while unconscious.
Well, I don't think that was intentional.
Yeah. And also, a point of interest for people who have never seen Neighbours, you might know of the songstresses Kylie and Danny Minogue.
And Nellie and Bruglia.
And Nellie and fucking Bruglia, yeah.
They got their start there.
Neighbours. Who else came from Neighbours?
Guy Pearce. Donovan.
Jason Donovan, who you might just know.
Everyone knows Guy Pearce. Also, La Confidencial.
Guy Pearce, yeah, he's in La Confidencial. Yeah,
Memento.
Russell Crowe was in Neighbours.
Oh, fuck Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe's been in Neighbours.
He was a postman, wasn't he?
It also spawned probably the best TV show spin-off board game that I've ever played. The Neighbours board game is a work of art.
It is a fair dinkum. Another Australian guy died recently, though. Proper ledge. Mark Chopper Reed.
Old Chop Chop.
Yeah. Good old Uncle Chop Chop.
What actually took the poor fucker in the end?
Cancer. Big shit. C, I think.
He was only like, what, in his 50s, 60s?
I think he was in his late 50s.
Shocker.
I mean, you know.
Rough life.
Yeah, I would say he's a legend, almost even a folk hero. But
mostly for the wrong fucking reasons.
Yeah, he also seems like a bit of a cunt.
It's like, alright, he's a bit of a cunt, but he's their cunt. You know what I mean? That's why they still fucking.
They certainly don't think that Old Chop murdered as many people as he said he did.
No, he said like he reduced it from like 18 to 4 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Still things we like, right?
Yeah. I do like the bugger, but he certainly was a bit of a fucker.
He was a rough bugger.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know, probably a product of the system, but still, you know, you shouldn't go around killing people.
And, you know, to be honest with you, what I really love about Mark Chopper Reed is Eric Banner's depiction of him. You know, it's not like I've seen that much stuff of the actual guy. So, what I really love is fucking Eric Banner's performance. But this is something I fucking like. They just found a new species of dolphin. Just off Australia. I can't fucking remember.
This is a good one, Bob. Tell us about the new dolphins.
No, I can't. I can't remember the details, but they found them. They exist. Fucking whoop-de-doo. Move on.
Don't they got lots of sheep in Australia?
Yeah.
They used to have a lot back in the day when they first settled. That ended up causing the great meat. Oh, fucking hell. I cannot hold an Australian accent, I'm sorry.
You mean a period in history where the landscape becomes verdant?
Aye, there was a period of rain, and that meant that when they'd raised all this cattle, individual farms, that's hundreds of thousands of heads, but that's not before the vast...
Change accent to West Country.
That actually ended up changing to the point where it led to massive drought, but they'd already produced so much fucking methane and like farts and that they actually punched a hole through the ozone layer.
With farts?
With farts?
The ozone layer.
Is that where they're getting that melanoma problem over there right now?
Well, it's one of the contributing factors. You go to Fiji, why not? They got no fucking ozone layer whatsoever. You sit there on a cloudy day, you'll get fucking cancer on the spot. I just had a bad experience there because I was foolish.
Fiji. That's his dating name.
Do you like pina coladas? I've been getting cancer on cloudy days.
Was the worst sunburn of my life, but it was a beautiful place to go. You should all visit.
Well, alright then, let's ask about the West Country.
Glastonbury's absolutely amazing.
You can do this.
It's fucking mint.
It's like a good area of the world for British archaeology, or the King Arthur, and that kind of shit.
Stonehenge.
Glastonbury used to be an island, didn't it?
Aye.
Before the Romans drained it off.
Actually, a thing I like about Stonehenge at the mill, apart from all the badass archaeology that they're doing, which is bringing up all kinds of cool shit right now, the road that runs past it on Salisbury Plain, past Stonehenge, they're closing it. for reasons. Probably because it's fucking up the Henge or something.
No, because of fucking Masonic rituals.
Probably about that as well. And it's like 4 miles of road that's just going to be closed off permanently, which means, you know, you can skate down it for 4 miles.
Oh.
Change accent to Jamaican.
Alright, this thing right here!
This one might be a little difficult.
Well, this one might get deleted entirely.
Something we can all love. A bit of rum.
Me, I love rum.
Yeah,
man. Cool Runnings is amazing.
Cool Runnings.
Oh,
absolutely superb.
They were one of the only two things.
Oh, it's one of the only two things that we like on the island of Jamaica. Rum and Cool Runnings.
Right, this is my Jamaican accent from now on. In America, the only two things they know about Jamaica are fucking Cool Runnings and Bob Marley. If you ask anyone, like, oh, do you like Jamaica? So, I love Cool Runnings.
I was in Trinidad and Tobago, and they had these amazing signs. They had one for road safety. It said, on the road, off the phone. You know, no driving with your mobile. There was another one that said...
we've got them signs over here.
No, but it was spelled the way they say it. It was on the road, off the phone.
Okay.
It's pretty funny. Never mind. There was another sign. Yeah, it wasn't a sign for our business, no nothing. It was just in the grass at the side of the road. And it said, the labour saving device of today is tomorrow.
Certainly something I can agree with.
Yeah, procrastination, man. Everyone enjoys. Caribbean Christmas songs. Yeah. There was a cracking one on it. It's October. I bring the rum, you bring the rum, I bring the beers, you bring the beers. Nobody's gonna be sober, it's Christmas time. That's the caliber of Caribbean Christmas song that I like.
It's one of the best ways to like get your hands around an accent. E-E-I-O-U.
You've got 3.5 minutes if anyone else wants to be a bit more Jamaican
man,
and try and rescue it.
I've got 4 minutes to
You've got about three fitting left, man.
You've got about three. Talk about...
Oh, he's got about three.
Let's talk about...
I gave my dollar.
Sex, baby. No.
Change accent to Irish.
Oh. Don't fuck.
God, that fucking happened.
Chief O'Brien.
Fuck yeah.
Just Chief O'Brien or Colin Meaney?
I like Colin Meaney in general, but Chief O'Brien is like one of the quintessential.
I think we know him well enough to call him Miles.
We're tight with O'Brien, it's fine.
He's a dynamite character.
Yeah. One of the few characters to dance around the Star Trek universe because he was in Star Trek Next Generation. Then he ended
and also the spin off, Dancing with Star Trek.
Dancing with Star Trek. Which was.
Shatner leads.
Originally called Dancing in the Stars, but it's copyright infringement.
felt like a bit of a crowbar trying to get that joke in.
I know, it was terrible. I'm sorry, it was a bit of a dad joke. And he also was in The Van, which is excellent.
And don't forget the Commitments, man.
I did see something excellent on the news today, though. They did a little piece on bento boxes in Japan. They're like, you know, the incredibly tarty packed lunch, but they like they make them into like artworks, and they do them for the kids especially, but you know, grown ups have them as well because Japan's awesome. And you know, make the rice balls into little panda bears, and there's an awesome way of cutting a hot dog so it turns into a squid.
I feel like I need to know this.
You cut the hot dog off the end so you've got the top smooth bit, and then like. It's about 2 inches wide.
I like the way you started with you cut the hot dog off the end. Off the end of what, Jim? The hot dog. you cut the hot dog off the end.
Fuck you,
drop
my own head.
Are you fucking with me? Wait. It's about 2 inches of hot dog from the end of the hot dog. And you cut about an inch into it, you cut 4 slices, like parallel to the hot dog. and when you like steam it, it kind of fans open like a wee octopus, and then you put sesame seeds there for eyes, and it's just, they're gorgeous. They really are really lovely. And I actually want to make some bento boxes. They're really fucking beautiful ones that cost like, you probably have ones that cost thousands of pounds, but you get ones for like 20 quid. You got different compartments, and you get really flask for your miso soup and stuff like that. It's really fun.
Well, you can get behind bento boxes. They do look tasty. I've not indulged myself in them, but I would like to get involved in the old Japanese cuisine.
I like boxed kids' meals.
Food in a box is often easy, because it's like a portable plate that you throw away when you're finished.
Did you see that about the Chinese takeaways? There's a thing that about the boxes. You unfold them into a plate.
Do we not all like Father Ted as well?
I am quite partial to a bit of Father Ted.
Possibly the funniest thing made in the 90s.
My granddad, he was an Irish Catholic, and he did not like Father Ted, which is another video he gave me, because somebody bought it for him. They thought he'd like it, but he really didn't.
Here you go, you fucking love this. You're a Catholic, right? He loves Catholics. Actually, it's actually quite playful with it. It does have a lot of love for Catholics, but it did address some of the stranger sides of religion as well.
Maybe a bit of explanation about the programme itself. It's about a priest named Ted, who is he's recently been convicted of fraud.
Right, he didn't take the money, it was just resting in
his
account.
And as a penance, he's sent to Craggy Island, which basically seems to be a retreat for mad priests. That's where they hired all the Irish priests who've gone a bit wonky.
It features Mrs. Doyle, who's one of the great physical and verbal comedian.
A great comic creation as well. But all four of the main characters, Father Ted, Father Jack Hackett, Father Dougal
McGuire,
and Mrs. Doyle. What the hell is her first name?
I don't know. They only ever seem to refer to her as Mrs. Doyle. She probably had a first name and it was revealed at some point, but I never heard it and don't remember it.
Change accent to Scottish.
Right, hey, then Dan, what have you liked this week?
Well, I just finished Porno.
I
reread it at Irvine Welsh Guard, a lovely book by him about the continuing adventures of renting a sick boy at Big Bay.
You said Welsh Guard. He's not bloody Welsh. He's bloody Scottish.
In Irvine Welsh, mate. Learn your references. It's like continuing adventures taking off about 10 years.
Is Bigby still a bad boy?
Oh, he's a bit of a worse watch. He just got out of prison and he's still getting up to a bit of mischief, glassing and chubbing people. Not the usual big boy antics. And sick boy is even sicker than usual.
No, he's a proper cunt.
But and so is renting, but he's like a cunt you kind of like a bit more. But maybe he's a better cunt because he gets away with it a little bit better. And Spud is just Spud, like, I mean, he's the only person I actually feel sorry for in the entire story.
He's the only decent cat in it.
Is he not writing a wee book of his own in that book?
Yeah, it's a wee little book in a book. It's a history, a leaf, about all the characters and catches about there. But it's basically just about gangsters and shit, and just people up to a bit of no good. I can't really say much because it will give away certain plot points and bits which are just fantastic in the entire book. So fucking read it.
Recently went to see Filth.
That's what I was going
to
ask
you. And Filth is something I'd definitely like to like. It was really gripping. Great performance from McAvoy and Gemboy. It was a really class film.
I did watch Trainspotting the other day, but I acquired the American version. And throughout the entire thing, I was wondering, like, why everybody was speaking with an American Scottish accent, and it was really unnerving for real.
What, did he redub it?
Yeah, like, for the American audience, because, like, the Scottish accent's a bit imperceptible, a bit, like, hard to get into.
He was talking, like, Glasgow as well.
So, like, it's, like, proper, like, thick Edinburgh accents, and, like, but in the original version, but the American one, everyone sounds American, especially on the fucking Gregor.
Because I know there was a version they put out that had subtitles, because it was notorious at the time.
Oh, no, like, they didn't they put subtitles in it in the end. Just because, like, the bit where they do put subtitles in, it, like, lessens the effect of the actual Scottish accent.
Right, yeah.
Quick fire things we like?
I like Teddy's Chocolate Orange. They're back in season at the moment. because we're approaching Christmas. I also had recently a popping candy, Terry's Chocolate Orange. And that was quite good. It wasn't the most explosive candy I've had.
No.
But,
delicious,
I liked
nonetheless.
It. I tasted of a chocolate orange, so you can't go far wrong.
With a slightly more interesting texture.
It was a bit crunchy.
Yeah, well, as you'd expect.
Not so much poppy, but definitely crunchy.
Mm. Well, yeah, bulk fast.
Cool.
Wee bit of bulky.
Hey, it's just fucking wine and a Red Bull at the same time with no fizz, so you can down the lot without any burping.
Benedictine tonic.
Aye.
Aye. I don't think I've ever had it.
Never had no book?
I don't think so.
I used to have Buckfast breakfasts at festivals.
Aye, I'm familiar with a Buckfast breakfast.
Sets you up for the day.
I could manage a tablespoonful at most.
It is somewhat medicinal.
Aye.
No, what you do, you drink it until you start to taste it, and that's when you stop. So if you just fucking down as much as you can straight away, they'll stop doing that action for your face.
You see that photo? That's something I like. Somebody, I can't remember when. Somebody showed me a photo of... it was Eric. Showed me a photo of a young David Moyes. Fuck me, it looks hilarious.
Did he have eyebrows?
Fair ones, but he only had two. He really looks like he only had those two front teeth. He looks like a fucking smackhead.
Oh, I want to add, I like Metalocalypse, the Doomstar opera.
I've not seen.
An hour long special that was on last week.
Is that the end?
Yeah, it's possibly the very last episode.
Oh dear God.
But the whole thing's a musical, so it's like the whole thing's scored and it's sung and it's a musical and it's fucking harsh.
A fucking hour long of Metalocalypse might be something a bit too extreme.
It's beautiful.
Is it just as fast paced as the episodes?
Aye, but there are some like longer, like where Toki has like a little sort of one of his happy tunes and it's all a bit sort of fairyland and dancing elves and
Dr. Oxo, isn't it?
Do you want me to tell you?
Well, I assume he fucking is.
I'm not actually going to say because it sets up that I'm not anymore. You should watch that. It's fucking tight.
It sounds good.
Mystery guest.
I like twice baked cheese souffles.
By the sounds of it, you don't.
I do, and they're canny, they're bloody lovely, but as it turns out, you can have too much of a good thing.
And with that, this has been Things We Like.
Well, that's about it for Things We Like this week, so if you'd like to send in your complaints about the accents, you can reach us at thingswelike@hotmail.com. If you'd like to be more positive, that's good too. If we get any, we'll read them out next week.
Definitely. In the accent of your choice.
And this has been an experiment in social, thingy. Really, just looking at like what accents are and how to... just thinking about, really.
Change up.
No, we won't have any more changing of accents today. You can reach us at wethingslike.wordpress.com. You can search for us on iTunes, and we're also on Twitter @things_we_like.
Hey.
We've been Jan.
Fucking Dan.
Alf.
Jim.
Me.
And mystery guest.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, hopefully you'll hear us again next time on Things We Like.
Ta-da, you hairy bollock.